بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب ما قيل في السواخ Most respected elder and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to provide us our rizq and our sustenance. He created us, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala also created our sustenance. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا There's not a single creature on the face of the earth, but the rizq and the sustenance of every creature is upon Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ Most definitely, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the greatest provider and extremely powerful and great. The world that we are living in is Darul Asbab. It is a world of means. Anything that we do, we have to adopt means. Yes, it is our iman that when we adopt our means, we don't place our trust in our means. We place our trust in Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the one that put effect in the means that we adopt. If Allah wants the means to be successful, it will be successful, it will be prosperous. And if Allah decides otherwise, you can adopt all the means, all the skills, all the efficiencies that you want. But if Allah decrees otherwise, it will not be successful. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in this subject matter and the next few subject matters, will be discussing certain halal means of income. You adopt the means, and the means are halal, he enumerates some of them. Most of the Sahaba, the Muhajireen, they were businessmen. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, they used to do tijarat and trade. And when they came to Madinah al-Munawwara, many of them went back in the same field of tijarat and trade. And the Ansar of Madinah al-Munawwara, they were farmers. Some of them were farmers in animals. Some of them used to farm crops. And some of them used to farm fruits. But besides the Muhajirin Ansar in general, Sahaba adopted other means of income as well. Some of them used to be carpenters, some of them tailors, some of them weavers, some of them jewelers, some of them perfumers, some of them blacksmiths. different trades the Sahaba have adopted to earn the income. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given the Sahaba a very high, lofty maqam and position. But they did not find it below their dignity and below their honor to adopt any means of income which was halal and permissible for them. One of the means of income Imam Bukhari rahmatullah referred to is sawwagh or suwwagh. This refers to any skill, any profession where a person has to form something, a person has to shape something or mold something. In the context of a jeweler, it probably would be he has gold and silver and he would mold it in a different form of jewelry. Or in the case of a blacksmith, he would take the steel and iron and formulate certain things. And going beyond that, in this modern age of manufacture and industry, it could go beyond that to anything else. Manufacturing of motor vehicles with steel and iron. Aeroplanes, ships, trains, weapons, and everything else can be included under this, under this chapter of sawwagh. Now Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, he presents certain incidents to show that this formulating things, molding things, manufacturing things is permissible. And in the context of that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presents a very, very beautiful incident. The incident is relating to something else. It's relating to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala preparing for his marriage. But in the context of that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi tries to derive the point that to be a manufacturer, to be a blacksmith is permissible. And therefore, Imam Bukhari narrates the incident, but the detailed incident is elsewhere in Bukhari Sharif. I want to narrate the hadith to you and thereafter substantiate the points from that. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes the hadith of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who he says, كانت لي شارف من نصيبي من المغنم يوم بدر. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala took part in the battle of Badr, and from the spoils of Badr, from the booty of Badr, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Ali radiallahu ta'ala who one she camel. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطاني مما أفاء الله عليه من الخمس يومئذ. And besides that one camel that he got, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him an extra camel. So all in all, Ali radiallahu ta'ala had two camels. فَلَمَّا أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَبْتَنِي بِفَاطِمَا عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامِ بِنْتِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَأَعَدْتُ رَجُلًا سَوَّاغًا فِي بَنِي قَيْنُقَى أَنْ يَرْتَحِيَ لَا مَعِي. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala now was getting ready to start staying with Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. He got married to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and now he was preparing to start staying with Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. He is a husband, he has a responsibility to arrange for the walima, to arrange for the house, to arrange for the other items of the house. So, he decided that he should take a blacksmith with him to go somewhere and to go and get a specific type of a grass. So he says, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَبِيعَهُ مِنَ السَّوَّاغِ. With these two camels of mine, I would ride on one camel, and the blacksmith, he would ride on another camel, and they would go and buy this grass, iskhir grass, and sell it to the blacksmiths. And فَنَسْتَعِينَ بِهِ فِي وَلِيمَةِ عُرْسِي. With the proceeds of the sale of this grass, which I would get from one place to another place, the proceeds of that, I would use it for my walima. But unfortunately, something very sad happened. فَبَيْنَا أَنَا أَجْمَعْ لِشَارِفِيَّ مِنَ الْأَقْتَابِ وَالْغَرَائِرِ وَالْحِبَالِ وَشَارِفَيْ مُنَاخَانِ إِلَى جَنْبِ حُجْرَةِ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. I gathered my two camels, the saddles of it, the stirrup of it, the strings of it, and my two camels, They were seated by the house of an Ansari person. Hatta jama'tu ma jama'tu. Until I gathered whatever I had to gather. Now, when the time came for me, with that blacksmith to ride the camel and go and fetch that grass, فَإِذَا أَنَا بِشَارِفِي قَدْ أُجِبَّتْ أَسْنِمَتُهُوَا وَبُقِرَ الْخَوَاصِرُهُمَا وَأُخِذَ مِنْ أَكْبَادِهِمَا. He was shocked and surprised when he saw his camels, the hump of his camels were cut off. The stomach of the camel was slit open and the liver from inside the camel were eaten up. He was shocked, surprised, both the camels were dead. فَلَمْ أَمْلِكْ عَيْنَيَّ حِينَ رَأَيْتُ الْمَنْذَرِ. I could not even believe my eyes what I had seen. Imagine, happy occasion, occasion of marriage, preparing for the walima, and all this has to happen. So, Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, Man fa'ala hada, who did this? Who destroyed my animals, my camels? Qalu fa'alahu Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. So they told to him that this is your uncle. Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has done this. Now before we proceed with this, we should understand, at that time in Islamic history, it was permissible to drink wine and alcohol. It was permissible at that point, later on it became haram. Now with that in mind, somebody told to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa huwa fi hadha al-bayt fi sharbin min al-ansar. There Hamza, there in the house, and he's there in the house with other people that are drinking wine and alcohol. عنده قينة وأصحابه. And there's also a singing woman and his colleagues are also there. And فقال في غنائها أنا يا حمز للشرف النوى. That girl, that singing girl, she motivated, she incited Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when she saw the camel, said, oh Hamza, take this young she camel. Do what you have to do with it. فَوَثَبَ حَمْزَ إِلَى السَّيْفِ. Now Hamza radiallahu ta'ala drinking wine and alcohol, he was intoxicated, he went for his sword. فَأَجَبَّ أَسْنِمَتَهُمَا وَبَقَرَ خَوَاصِرَهُمَا وَأَخَذَ مِنْ أَكْبَادِهِمَا. He cut off the hump of the animal, he slit the stomach of the animal, and he ate from the liver of the animal. Now, Ali radiallahu ta'ala was shocked and surprised. What had happened? فَانْتَلَقْتُ حَتَّى أَدْخُلَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَعِنَّهُ زَيْدِ بِنَ حَارِثَ. Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, I immediately went to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complain to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what had happened. And Zayd ibn Haritha was by Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem saw the facial expression of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. When a person is sad, upset, you can make it out from his face. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately told to Ali, Malak, what has happened? قُلْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُكَ الْيَوْمِ أَذَا حَمْزَ عَلَى نَاقَتَيْ. Ya Rasulullah, I haven't seen anything what I've seen like today. Hamza destroyed my camels. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what a way is he? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took his sheet, covered himself up, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house where Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. Now Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there. He entered the house. He saw Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. فَإِذَا حَمْزَ ثَمِلٌ مُحْمَرَّةٌ عَيْنَا. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was intoxicated and his eyes were bloodshot red. Normally when a person is intoxicated, so his eyes are bloodshot red. At that time, drinking wine and alcohol was permissible. And that was the condition of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started condemning Hamza. Why did you do this? How can you do such a thing? So Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was in his proper frame of mind. He looked at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top. And then he made a statement, Hal antum illa abidun li abi. Are you not the slaves of my father? Remember, he was not in a proper frame of mind and he made this statement. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'arafa Nabi sallallahu annahu thamil. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then realized that no, Hamza is not thinking correct. He's not thinking properly. He's intoxicated. And فَنَكَسَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ. Nabiya Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم withdrew and he went away from there. Now this is an incident Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi mentions. The purpose is to show that see that they were blacksmiths at the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Ali, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was supposed to go with another blacksmith to go and collect the grass and to sell it to earn an income through that. The second hadith that we are about to do, also proving the same point about blacksmithing. An Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inna Allah harrama Makkah, wa lam tahilla li ahadin qabli, wa la li ahadin ba'di. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, most definitely Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sanctified Makkatul Mukarrama. And Makkah Mukarrama was not made halal for anyone before me, neither for anyone after me. It was only during the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, for a short while, that Makkah Mukarrama became halal. وَإِنَّمَا أُحِلَّتْ لِي سَاعَةً مِّن نَهَار. For a short time, during the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, war was permissible. لَا يُخْتَلَى خَلَاهَا. Makkah Mukarrama is such a great place that you cannot uproot its grass. وَلَا يُعْبَدْ شَجَرُهَا. You cannot cut or uproot the trees of Makkatul Mukarrama. وَلَا يُنَفَّرْ سَيْدُهَا. And the animals, wild animals, you cannot even chase them away. وَلَا يُلْتَقَتْ لُقْتَتُهَا إِلَّا لِمُعَرِّفْ. And any item that is lost in Makkatul Mukarrama, you cannot pick it up to own it and to use it for yourself unless you wish to identify who the owner is. So, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned all this, that the grass, everything is haram, it is prohibited, you cannot use it because of the sanctity of Makkah al-Mukarrama. فَقَالَ أَبَّاسِ ابْنِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ إِلَّا الْإِسْخِرْ لِسَاهَتِنَا وَلِسَقْفِ بُيُوتِنَا. So, Abbas radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, what about that iskhir grass, where our blacksmiths use them, and we use them for the roof of our homes? So, because of the need of the time, there was a relaxation in the law. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, illal iskhir. Yes, iskhir will be excluded from the prohibition. Now, just to discuss few contemporary issues. As far as manufacture is concerned, it is a norm of our time that when you tell a manufacturer to manufacture something for you, then generally two things take place. You buy an item from him and you ask him to also provide his service. Take for example, you wish somebody to manufacture gates for your house for safety and for security. One is that you buy the steel, you give it to him and you tell him to manufacture it or to formulate it. And one is that you tell him that his steel, everything belongs to him, everything of his, and he must also make the gates. Now there's two things in one. One is buying the gates, the steel, and one is formulating the gates. In principle, to do two transactions in one is not permissible. Two things, buying and selling, and at the same time, ijara, hiring the service of someone, that is not permissible. But because it's the norm of the time, so therefore, it will be permissible. A second important issue regarding a manufacture is whenever you ask anybody to manufacture anything, two important things are very important. One is the fees must be specified. Second, the time when he's going to deliver the item must also be specified. If there's any ambiguity in any one of these two things, which will lead to a dispute, then such a transaction will not be permissible. Yes, of course, in the field of manufacture or people providing services, we know for the fact you tell somebody to provide a service on a particular day, he doesn't do it. And generally there's a delay, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. It could be people across the board in any manufacturing field. So the fuqaha have mentioned as an incentive you can tell the person, if you provide the service within 1 month, this is going to be a fee, a higher fee. And if you delay in that 1 month or 2 months later, then you drop the fee. So the higher fee will serve as an incentive for the person. A third issue regarding jewelers. It is a common practice among people. They would take their old jewelry and they would go buy newer jewelry from the jeweler. They would exchange it. Now, you can't just do a swap. On both sides, there is jewelry. Whether on both sides it could be gold, or one side gold, one side silver. You cannot just simply do a swap. When it comes to gold on both sides, there must be total equality and there must be physical possession taking place. And if there's gold on one side, silver on the other side, then if there's more on one side, lesser on the other side, that is permissible. Still too, taking possession is necessary. An easy way to do this, instead of going into all these technicalities, do two different transactions. The person that's coming with his old jewelry, conclude the deal, look at the value of it, 20,000 rands, sell that separately, let the jeweler pay you. Now you've got 20,000 rand in your hand, you buy a new set of jewelry that will avoid all forms of technicalities. Second issue regarding jewelry, can you buy jewelry on credit? It is permissible. This is, you're not buying gold through gold or gold through silver, you are buying gold through money. So on one side, the gold is being given to you, the jewelry is being given to you, the money can be credited. On condition, you specify the date of payment and so forth to avoid any complication in the future. And one last important point. Can you use a credit card or a debit card or a check card to purchase jewelry? Now, if you can buy jewelry on credit, using the credit card and all these facilities will also be permissible. However, there is one technicality here. In the case of a credit card, normally the concept of credit card from the Shariat point of view, it is a hawala. It's a transferal of the debt. That is, the credit card issuer, he is the one that will pay the debt. When you swipe the card on the terminal, then at most there will be an authorization to pay. But payment is not immediate. Payment normally takes place after 24 hours or in some instances, if it's a weekend, maybe even longer than that. Now, there may be certain intricacies where at times you may buy jewelry from a jeweler and you want to use the credit card. And you don't take physical possession of the jewelry because you want the jeweler to do some extra work on that. Now, the jewelry is credit and you also use the credit card to pay, and the payment is not immediately being fulfilled to the jeweler. So there's credit on from the jewelry side of point of view, and from the payment point of view, there's also credit. Two-side credit is prohibited. This is called bay'ul kali bil kali in the hadith. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited that. So the alternative in such a situation, if you're paying with a credit card and you want the jeweler to do some work on the jewelry, then you take possession of it there, and then you give it back to him, and then you tell him to do some work on that, so that it's not two-side credit, it is one-side credit. These are some of the alternatives and some of the common practices that take place among people. We need to correct ourselves and do our muamalat completely according to Sharia. We make dua. Almighty Allah Tabaraka grant us tawfiq and hidayat to rectify our muamalat, correct our muamalat. I mentioned it repeatedly. There's taqwa in our masajid, taqwa in our homes, taqwa in the madrasas. But the moment taqwa, piety comes in our muamalat, in our dealing, then see Allah's rahmat and Allah's mercy in our lives. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.